Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, my sometime co-host, John Galloway, joins us. John is a technical evangelist in the Azure group, and his focus is on ASP.NET. How are you, John?
Doing great. How are you, Jesse?
I'm very well and very excited because our guest is Scott Hunter, who is the group program manager for .NET on the server for Microsoft, and that encompasses a whole lot of technology, and I'm looking forward to talking with him about ASP.NET vNext. Scott, welcome, and how are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm really excited to talk about what we're working on.
Well, I'm extremely happy to have you back. I will tell you that I've been hearing a lot about ASP.NET vNext. I don't know nearly enough about it, and I'm hoping that we can clarify some of my confusion. And what is most startling out of the box is that it's being done in something approximating total transparency and open source. Is that right?
That is correct. When we, if you look at the history of the team, we took ASP.NET, all the bits except system.web, which is in the full framework that ships as part of .NET. We took all those open source in 2012, and when we started doing the thinking of the vNext thing, we thought, you know, it's one thing to take a project you've been working on for a couple of years and making it open source. It's way more exciting to basically say, let's start from the beginning as open source. A lot of people, you know, one of my anecdotes in this world is a lot of folks compare, you know, like .NET open source to non-.NET open source, and they go, hey, some of this non-.NET open source has a lot more contributors and a lot more pull requests and stuff like that than .NET stuff. And I said, my challenge there would be, most of the stuff that we open source in .NET, we'd already been working on for 5 or 6 years, and so it's pretty mature technology. The vNext stuff is really exciting to me to be able to open source something from the ground up and let people contribute from day one. But it just goes to the team's philosophy. Our team's philosophy is that you, in the web especially, you cannot compete unless you're transparent. PHP is open. Node is open. Ruby is open. We need to be open if we want to play in that space.
You said twice starting from scratch. And my friends who are longtime ASP.NET web form developers clutched their chest in fear. So can you talk a little bit about what it means to start from scratch in vNext, and how significantly different will this be?
So depending on where you are in ASP.NET, it can be pretty different. And I can explain kind of historically why. So the best way to think of this is to go back and look at the history of ASP.NET. In 1996, we released a technology called ASP, which was Active Server Pages. And this was the first, this is back when the web world was moving from writing web apps in C++ and C, which seems insane to me. That was the CGI world. You actually wrote a, you know, compiled C app that was your web app. And in 96, we started moving to this mode where instead of writing a web app that way, you actually write either VBScript or JavaScript in your page, and you can talk to some server components. That's where the active server page part came from. And we had that technology going for a couple of years. And then object-oriented programming became a big thing. And at the same time, Java was out. And having a programming language that knew how to clean up memory and stuff like that automatically for you, garbage collection, was a big thing. And so we moved ASP into ASP.NET. And when we made that transition, we wanted to make it super easy for the developers that had spent the last 5 or 6 years working in ASP to be able to move to ASP.NET. And when we did that, the way we did that is we took, there was a couple of core objects. There was a server object. There was a request object, a response object, and a few others, a browser object. And we mapped those things directly from ASP to ASP.NET. And this was the semblance of building system web and web forms. And at that point in time, the main notion of a web framework, or from Microsoft's perspective, was how do we take the desktop developer and move them to the web as well? And so that was the primary thing that we were optimizing for. We were not optimizing for modularity or performance or a variety of other things. And so because of that historical path, Today, when you're building an ASP.NET application, for the most part, every time a request hits the web server, we new up about 30K worth of objects. And that's the object is the HTTP context object. And it's the same thing that it's the object that contains that server, browser, response, request objects from all the way back from ASP. And so when we're looking at our technology and we're like, okay, we want to move it further forward, if I want to remove that 30K worth of stuff, I have changed the technology fundamentally. Meaning that I could have gone and taken the system web that we're shipping today, and I could remove all those things from the context object. And if I did that, it would break every single web form application to the point they would not run at all. In fact, it would break web forms to the point that we would change it so much that it would not even be the same web forms that we have today. And so when our team's goal is to make the web framework that's the fastest and the smallest versus the goal being to move a developer, you know, to the from desktop to web, the goals change significantly. And as part of that change, some of this change comes into play. So that said, there's two key messages that I want to say here. First off, if you're a web form developer, web forms does not run in ASP.NET VNext. And we have two ways that we plan to address this. First off, web forms is not finished or done, or we don't plan to abandon it or put it away. In fact, in the same wave that ASP.NET VNext is going to come, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff for web forms. One of those things is the Roslyn compiler, which is the brand new C# VB compiler that's part of the next wave of the Microsoft technologies. We have already added support for that for web forms. So if you're a web form customer, you are going to get all of those benefits as part of this new wave. The new membership system that we have that will be in ASP.NET VNext, we've already given that to web form customers as part of the updates that have come out this year. We did an investment earlier this year where if you're an MVC, a web API developer, you've had this scaffolding where you can, you know, build a data object and we'll actually write pages for you that consume that. We have now brought that to web forms as well. And in the VNext timeframe as well, our goal is to bring support for HTTP2 to web forms. So while you can't easily just copy a web forms application into ASP.NET VNext, the message I want to have to customers is that world's very healthy, very alive. We have tons of innovation, you know, bring in the new C#, the new VB, bring in the new membership and authentication systems for ASP.NET, bringing the scaffolding, and potentially bringing HTTP2 work to that stack. We have a ton of investment there. So that's side one of it is if you're one of those developers, you know, you shouldn't be afraid. We're bringing you lots of brand new functionality, and we think that's a great way to build apps. The next thing is, how do I make it easier for you to transition if you are a web form customer, you know, and you want to start building an application on ASP.NET VNext? How can I make that easier for you? And the big missing thing, if you're a web form developer and you look at our newer technologies like web pages or MVC, really the big thing that's different there is these user controls that you're used to using, you know, being able to drag a text box and a button from a toolbox to your page. Those things don't exist in MVC today. And I think that's the biggest challenge for a web form developer is they're used to just dragging this control to a page and then being able to hook an event to it and the new world and having a data bind automatically as well. And in the new world or in the MVC world, it's not that way. In the MVC world, you have to write more code. And that was by design. The web form thing purposely abstracts a lot of work away, and you lose a little bit of control there. While MVC was like, here, it's bare metal. You write the HTML. You're going to write a lot more code. To address that, we have a feature that we're adding in VNext, and it's called Tag Helpers. And in some forms, it's a form of web controls, if I want to say so, that exist in the new MVC that's part of VNext. And the part of web controls that it is it allows you to write a HTML tag, but at the same time, have the server kind of run some of that. So for example, today, if I'm going to build a input tag which is the way that I would build a text box. You know, input type equal text is the HTML that a ASP colon text box generates. In the new world, you would write input type equal text. You would write the tag instead of writing the control. Now, the cool thing is in ASP.NET vNext, we have the ability for ASP.NET to override or to take over the markup for a control, I mean, for an element. And we call this a tag helper. And the notion here is you still write the HTML just like the HTML would be written today. But when you write that input type equal text, you can actually specify to us like the variable that you want to data bind. But you do that with HTML style markup. So there's a couple of benefits. Number one is your HTML is real HTML. It looks just like the HTML that you would write manually if you were doing an MVC app. But you get some of the runtime functionality added. You get the ability for us to do things like data binding, to add additional properties to that input type where we could do validation and stuff like that. And so the cool thing is you're more in the HTML world and the markup world, but you're going to get some of those control kind of benefits that you lost in the MVC world. And the other cool thing is because now we're having you write an HTML tag versus a HTML.helper or an ASP colon text box is all the benefits. The last two or three years of Visual Studio, we've been piling in all this support for HTML5 and CSS3. But if you're using an ASP colon button or text box or a HTML.text box, well, in both of those cases, you're either in C# or you're in some kind of markup that ASPX markup that we generated. And so you lose, you know, the editor doesn't know that you're in HTML. It thinks you're in some other construct. And so you lose all that IntelliSense. And so the goal of vNext is to bring some of the controlisms that we had in web forms to give you full control of the HTML and to give you full HTML IntelliSense all combined. And so the hope that I have is if you're a web form customer and you're going to build a new app, you know, I would say if you have a working web form application, leave it alone. Continue to build it the way it is. It's not worth rewriting your app. But if you're going to build a new app, you should feel that you could go build an ASP.NET vNext app. And some of the things you're familiar with are different, but they're more there than they are today in MVC. If that makes any sense.
That was wonderful, and we could almost leave it there and say that was a great summary, but it does raise a couple questions. First of all, one of the things that you said is that vNext is going to have, if I heard you correctly, the ability to add data binding to what are essentially HTML5 tags.
Yeah, so the feature is more than that. The feature is you can take an HTML tag, and you can say, I want to take over this tag a little bit. So I can say that I'm going to take the form element, for example. And if a user does, you know, less than form greater than and makes a form element, that it will still emit just like it does normally. But we'll have some server-side code that runs and potentially adds some additional markup there. So a great example is, If you're building an MVC application today, you typically end up using HTML.begin form and end form because if you do that, we can inject some of our stuff to prevent cross-site scripting. Well, in this new world, because we can actually just kind of take over a little bit the emitting of the form element, we can do that for you. And so it makes your application look better because you don't see the C# in your code, in your markup. You get the security feature, but your page looks pretty clean. And there's a client side framework called AngularJS, and I think John's pretty familiar with this thing, and it has this exact same notion. They call them directives in Angular, and so when you actually start using AngularJS in a client side app, it does the same model where you can actually write a directive that is basically you can write your own new element, or you can write a directive that overrides an existing element. And Angular JS uses it for the exact same reasons, that if you write a form on your page, what they'll do is Angular actually takes over that form and automatically makes that form do a client-side postback or client-side event versus actually trying to actually push to the server. So it's in some ways, we were inspired by that, and the tag helper feature that we have in ASP.NET vNext was derived from us playing with Angular JS.
Well, I want to ask you a dozen questions, and we'll come back to AngularJS and client-side work and how that plays with vNext. But before we do, you specifically addressed the concerns of the web form programmer.
Yeah.
If I'm an MVC 5 ASP.NET programmer, I've read John Galloway's book, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm building MVC 5 apps. Am I in a better position to make this transition?
You can be. It depends on how clean of an MVC app you have. So the example I want to pull out there is the big thing we started off, and I was describing what was different about the programming model was the ASP and ASP.NET current have this HTTP context object, which contains all of the requests, the response, the server objects. There's nothing preventing an MVC customer today from accessing HTTP context anywhere in their application. MVC has plenty of features to make sure that you have the right objects at your disposal. If you're writing a controller, there's plenty of ways to get to the same things that exist in that HTTP context object. So typically the advice I give a customer is make sure that you're not using the HTTP context object. Go use the mechanisms in the controller classes that give you access to the URIs and give you access to form fields versus trying to go to that global object, because that global object is changed. And so if you minimize the use of that, it will make porting your application way easier. One of our goals with the ASP.NET vNext stuff is our goal is not to make it, we want to make it very easy to transition an MVC or a web API application to vNext with the least amount of friction. So for example, in the web API case, we're gonna generate a NuGet package, which is a backwards compat package that you can basically inject into your application, and it will bring some of the behaviors from the existing stack into the new stack as a compat shim to make it easier to port your applications. But for the most part, I would just say minimize the use of HTTP context.current as much as possible. Use the right ways to get access to that same data, and it will make your transition to vNext way easier. The other one would be when we shipped MVC for the first time in 2008 through 2010, we let you choose either using Razor as your view language or ASPX as your view language. In the vNext world, Razor is all that there is. And so I would say if you want to have your app easy to make your app easy to port to vNext, you should move to Razor. And Razor is one of the best things we've done since I've been on the team. We did it in 2010. And if you're not using it, I think you'll find moving your app from ASPX to Razor is super trivial. And I think you'll like yourself for it either, as well, because it's a much cleaner, much less verbose way of writing, server-side code in a view than ASPX was.
And just to clarify one thing that you said before we move on, there are, I think you call them tag helpers.
Yeah.
But they'll still be Razor-like syntax that is intermixing of C# code with HTML5.
Yeah, we will still have, for backwards compatibility, we'll still have the HTML helpers that we have today. You'll be able to say HTML.textbox, HTML.etc. We're not going to move that away. It's still Razor as well. So you can still write C# directly in the view if you want to. We're not going to stop you from doing that. The big deal is, this is the nirvana for us, is we were actually writing an AngularJS app one day, and we were trying to write a text box, and we wanted to add a style to the text box. And the way we did that is you do HTML.textbox and you pass a few parameters. And then to add styles to it, the way you add styles to one of these things is you new up an anonymous object. And then inside that anonymous object, you put a string. And that string is the stuff that we actually that we put on your class. You could say class equal foo.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found was when using Bootstrap, which is a responsive framework, and using Angular, each of those things required a ton of these styles. And so every piece of HTML dot that we had on our page had an anonymous object. And so the page was just ridiculous when we were done with it. It had so much markup in it because of that anonymous object. Secondly, that anonymous object provided no IntelliSense, because as soon as you're in that HTML.txt box, you've left the HTML editor and the CSS editor. You are now in C Sharp. And C Sharp knows nothing of Bootstrap IntelliSense or Angular IntelliSense. And so we're like, ugh, this is bad. And that's where Tag Helpers came from. It's like, what we really want you to do is get the benefits of writing the actual HTML markup, which then gives you the ability to have full IntelliSense. When you type class equal quote, you'll get full Bootstrap IntelliSense, full Angular IntelliSense, and you won't have to create that anonymous object. What we found is the amount of markup on the page reduced by about 60%, which is no different than I would challenge was the amount of markup on a page if you were doing ASPX before Razor came out. When you moved to Razor, the amount of markup you would write in the page, you know, reduced by about half. And so Tag Helpers to me are just another one of these optimizations that removes a lot of extra goop from the page. Anonymous yeah. objects. I mean, some people listening to the podcast might not even know what that is.
Yes. Do you want to explain very briefly? I think most folks, certainly most C-sharp programmers, are going to understand what you mean. But the takeaway from this is that this new approach makes for a much cleaner page and something that looks much more like an HTML5 page, but still gives you that assistance.
Okay. You're nailing it. That's exactly the goals. The goal is to, give you the assistance and actually even give you more assistance than we gave you in the past. Keep you in HTML. So any book you're reading on HTML is totally valid, and give you the full IntelliSense. That's the goal.
Now you mentioned Angular and you mentioned Bootstrap. I take it that they work and play well with ASP.NET Next, and that I could build a single page application using vNext.
Yes, that's one of the actual design goals. Is when we started doing ASP.NET vNext, we think that web apps are in the process of evolving. There'll be plenty of apps that are completely server-side driven, because it's in a lot of ways today it's the fastest way to write an application. You know, I could spit out a web form application in 5 minutes that had a bunch of fields and you press a button and you get somewhere. And I don't think that world's going to change. You can be super productive with that programming model. But, you know, if you look at some of the newer, especially public properties, if you go to Facebook or you go to Twitter, or you go to Google Plus, or you go to Gmail, or even Outlook.com, you find these web apps that don't feel as web appy as they did in the past. I mean, when you do things, the screen doesn't redraw every time you click on something. It kind of happens inline. And one of our goals in vNext is how do we take the person that's building apps today, the server-side apps, and move them into that world more easily? And so one of the things that we thought about doing was, what if, you know, and if you are in that world, what you might want to do is you might want to have the server render the first page for the ultimate performance and then have the client take over after that. And so this is where this Tag Helper feature comes into play. So we will ship as part of vNext a series of Tag Helpers that mimic each of the HTML dot things that we have in MVC today. So HTML dot text box, HTML dot checkbox, all the HTML dots that we have, you will just be able to replace those with regular HTML markup, with some properties for data binding and stuff like that. We plan to ship another set of Tag Helpers that do something more than that, that would write the right Angular code, for example. So you get a server rendering of the Tag Helper, but the Tag Helper is actually emitting Angular-aware markup. So it makes it very easy to write a form that looks just like an HTML form. But if you're using the Angular Tag Helpers, you're going to get something that actually has all the right Angular markup in there. So you can do the form submission fully client-side, including Angular validation and all of that. That's just the beginning of us taking some steps to try to make it easier to write a client-side application. We're going to reduce the amount of JavaScript that you have to write. We want to have tooling to go with this as well. Maybe that I can right-click on my page and say that I want to scaffold a form, and we'll scaffold the form. We would even write the Angular controller for you that wires up to an ASP.NET Web API backend. And so you're going to see us do a lot of work to try to the same kind of stuff that we did back in 2002 when we were trying to move people from, you know, building desktop applications to web applications. Now you're going to see us try to do as much as we can to aid you from moving from full server side to a hybrid of some server side and some client side.
I have to say, I have to inject a personal note and say I'm sitting here drooling, and this just sounds absolutely extraordinary and incredible and great. What are we looking at in terms of when folks can realistically get their hands on something that is fairly stable?
We've been shipping a CTP every month since the TechEd conference. In fact, we have a new CTP coming out next week. Sometime next week, I think we have CTP 4 coming out, but we're going to have a public beta later this year. And the public beta is going to be the first time that this stuff is kind of settled down. Right now, between each of the CTPs, the framework and the runtime is moving around in large chunks and changing quite a bit. But by this fall, once we announce whenever the beta date is going to be, things are going to stabilize quite a bit. The tag helper stuff that I told you about, I'm not sure how much of that's going to be in that fall release. The plan is to get it into that fall release. But the Angular stuff that I was talking about on top of that, that's probably looking to be sometime beyond that public beta, sometime when one of the next milestones happens. But you know, the cool thing about this stuff too today is it used to be that I would worry about having everything ready to go day one when a product ships. But you might have noticed that we kind of ship an update to Visual Studio about every quarter. And so the cool thing now is I no longer have to worry about, I mean, we will still have a nice, well-rounded, complete feature by the time we RTM the product. But we're not going to stop by any means. You're going to see us continue to innovate every quarter. It's going to get better and better and better.
And just to clarify, when you say fall, you mean this fall, 2014.
This fall, yes. This fall 2014, yes.
That's just extraordinary. What about documentation? It's certainly going to be a challenge for anyone to put together a book or a course with such a moving target that's moving so quickly. How much will Microsoft be providing samples and explanations and documentation to help folks get started with all of this?
Yeah, we definitely plan to have a ton of information available in the November timeframe or October or whatever the fall ends up being. But what I would say is, when I'm thinking of book writers, I'm looking at you, Jesse, and I'm looking at John as well on my screen. The cool thing as a book writer is, as we talked about when the show started, all the source code is in the public repository. So it's very easy for a book writer just to grab the thing and grab a nightly build of it. And, you know, you can see how it changes. You can actually watch the pull requests and see it moving and changing on the fly. So as a book author, I think there's nothing better than now saying that the source is live and, you know, you can just go and attack it yourselves. I'd love to have books from both of you guys.
That's very cool. And we're going to let John do the book. And I'm gonna beg to do the Pluralsight course, but we'll see, because I bet they'll be lining up to do Pluralsight courses on this and other online courses on this.
Because, oh, come on, Jesse, you've done books before.
A couple, a couple too many, I think. let me ask you a slightly off the wall question. How much do you think about or take into account Xamarin and what you're building in vNext? Is there any connection there, or is it totally disparate?
I think for the most part it's totally disparate. Here's what I think of. I think of, as a developer, I want to be able to build a cross-platform web application in C#. And I think of Xamarin as I want to build a cross-application device app in C#. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're different, but I think they both have the same point of, you know, if you're building an ASP.NET web application, it can be used by an iPhone, an Android phone, a Windows phone, a desktop computer. If you're building a Xamarin C#, you know, device app, it can be on Android, iOS, and Windows as well. And so I think the goals of each of the technologies is similar, which is to address, you know, the devices that people have today. But I think that's really where the similarity kind of ends. And then, of course, you know, we want VS. We want to make it easy for you to build all the things that I just kind of talked about.
Scott, as you're mentioning that, you know, talking about cross-platform and all that, do you want to talk a little about, you know, the support for, like, because one thing you mentioned earlier is that you can build ASP.NET vNext cross-platform as well. How does that work for, you know, like, what's the experience outside of Visual Studio?
One of the things that we did when we started building ASP.NET vNext was we thought it would be very interesting to make sure that the platform could run on non-Windows and environments. And that's actually caused quite a few design changes in how we build the framework. So one of those things was ASP.NET vNext, or current, is completely tied to IIS. I mean, these things are coupled at the hip. There's tons of code that wires the two things together, the HTTP pipeline, the events. I mean, these things are all associated with IIS. And so we did a couple of things. One thing was we kind of we changed the way that ASP.NET plugs into IIS. And we made that interface something that's programmable. In some ways, it's a provider model where ASP.NET vNext can be plugged in so it talks to IIS. It can be plugged in so it talks directly to HTTP sys on a machine, on a Windows machine. Or we actually wrote our own web server called Kestrel. It's a .NET web server. Or you could have ASP.NET vNext talk to that. Technically, as a developer, you could also make it talk to Apache or anything else. I mean, it's a programmable interface. So the first thing we did is we abstracted away the tie to IIS, which allows the technology to move out and run in other places. And then secondly, it was always a goal of ours to make sure that the platform would run on Mono. Mono, for people that don't know, is the C# .NET implementation that runs on Mac and Linux, and it runs on Windows as well. And so, you know, in the back of our minds, we have a CI machine that makes sure that this thing runs and compiles and works on Mono, which is kind of a design goal. And then thirdly, you know, if you use Visual Studio, there's a lot of tooling that happens via, you know, dialog boxes and right-click menus and stuff like that. And we knew that if you wanted to go build one of these apps on a Mac or a Linux machine, you're not going to have VS because VS only runs on Windows. And so the team took an approach of everything that we build in the framework, we build command line first. So if you want to go scaffold a, you know, we were talking earlier about scaffolding and web forms. If you want to scaffold a controller or scaffold an application in vNext, there's a command line to do that. And then what we're going to do in Visual Studio, when the feature appears in Visual Studio, underneath the covers, what all Visual Studio is doing is bringing a dialog box up, giving you some options, and when you press OK, it's going to go run the same command line that I'm just talking about right now. The cool thing is that means that if I let you develop this thing on a Mac, you can scaffold the controller just like you could in Visual Studio. You just do it with the command line. And so everything we're doing in vNext, we do it with command line first, and then we're going to write Visual Studio tooling that wraps that. Even on top of that, we had an intern here this summer he was a great intern. And what he worked on is he took Sublime, which is a Sublime Text, which is a editor that happens to run on Windows, Mac, and Linux. And he wrote a ASP.NET vNext plugin for this. And the plugin's pretty cool. Using this plugin, you can actually open up an ASP.NET vNext project in Sublime. If you load the configuration file up, it'll do full validation of the configuration file and show you if you make errors. If you are working in the C# code, if you save the file in Sublime, you'll actually see all the errors show up in the output window inside of Sublime. If you click an error, we'll highlight the error in the source code. If you go to the command menu inside of Sublime and type K, all the K, which is the kind of the internal name for ASP.NET vNext, all of the command line tools show up in the menu there. And the cool thing that means is this is not Visual Studio. You're not going to have debugging. You're not going to have all the publishing features and stuff that we have in Visual Studio. But it means that you actually get a pretty good experience on a Mac or even a Linux machine running Sublime Text Edit. So a couple of design philosophies that I talked about to make it easier to make sure it would run in those environments, and then helping some of the third-party authors, you know, build some cool plugins to support this stuff. So it's part of just trying to grow our ecosystem. We want to be everywhere, you know, Windows, Mac, Linux.
Before you go, let me ask you, if someone is listening to this and they are very excited about what you're saying and they want to get started, one thing that they could do is that they could go to, is it on GitHub or where is the physical source?
It's on GitHub. So you want to go to www.github.com/ASP.NET.
Okay. But there are a fair number of people who are not comfortable doing that. They're not comfortable downloading the working product from GitHub, but they do want to get started thinking about this and understanding it. Is there any documentation? Are there any sources? Are there things that they should be doing to prepare themselves? I don't mean prepare their program, but prepare themselves intellectually for this kind of approach.
For the people that don't want to just go right to the horse's mouth and grab the source code, which I can understand why you might not want to do that. You can also go to www.asp.net/vnext. And the vnext page on ASP, on the ASP.NET site, is where we talk about our upcoming releases. From that page, there's some tutorials and walkthroughs that'll actually guide you through building a ASP.NET vnext application and playing with it and publishing it. There's download links that will download the CTP of the next version of Visual Studio, which has ASP.NET vNext built into it, and it's got the tooling built into it, so you don't have to do any command line stuff at all. That's the best place to get started if you're on Windows. If you're on Mac or Linux and you want to try this thing out and just kind of kick the tires, then you want to go to the GitHub page. On the GitHub page, there's a section on how to install this on both of those platforms, and full walkthrough of how to get the tools up. But for a Windows developer, just come to ASP.NET/vnext, and all the info you need should be there.